Hello, I'm Dr. John Davis. Today we're going to talk about psychological disorders. There are a number of reasons why you might wish to understand more about psychological disorders. Maybe somebody close to you has panic attacks. Suddenly they express fear of something that's not usually that scary and can't breathe or have chest pain, and it looks pretty scary to you. Or maybe you live with someone who most of the time is gentle, sweet, loving, but once in a while they turn, and seemingly for no reason there's a shift in all that sweetness. They turn mean. They seem to be looking for some small mistake you've made so they can attack you, that sort of thing. And then the next morning with this person, it's like nothing happened. They remember it, but they don't want to talk about it, and they're back to their old sweet selves. Or you or somebody around you has severe mood swings. Not personality swings like I just described, but this person goes from happy and excited all the way to the deepest depression. Well, the question has always come up with us whether or not these people need help. What should we do? Is there any kind of intervention we can do? Is there any kind of useful help out there even? And how do you find it? Would they accept it even if you can find it? You often ask if you are the cause of this problem. What should you do even if you're not the cause? And when do they step over the line? When is a small problem something that becomes worth looking at? Well, let's see if we can tackle a few of these questions and others by first just giving you the language to be able to think and talk about these conditions. There are two ways to look at psychological problems, and we'll talk about those two ways, and then we'll talk about five kinds of disorders you might see or be living with or notice in yourself or someone close to you. The first of the two ways to look at them is the medical model. The medical model views psychological problems basically as an illness. And when you view someone as either sick or well, then what you're probably going to want to do as a treatment is give them some kind of medication to solve the problem. If someone has anxiety, for example, you'll give them Valium or one of the other, Klonopin or one of the other medications to try and deal with the anxiety. Unfortunately, one of the drawbacks of that is that it often has a side effect of its own, and then you have to have another medication to deal with that side effect. The second model is the psychological model, and it looks at things a little bit differently. Psychologists tend to think of psychological issues as problems with living, first of all, not an illness, although some of them may be. And also that there are varying degrees of problems, some of them requiring treatment, some of them not. But each and every one of us, for example, has anxiety. The question is, how often do you have it, and to what degree do you have it? And so psychologists would tend to look very carefully at those sorts of things to see if treatment is really called for. And in some cases, medical people would as well. But for the most part, the medical model looks at it as an illness. Treatment will be different if you look at it as a problem on a continuum, a problem that'll be small or large and is more of a problem of living than an illness. You tend not to give medication. You would tend to use psychological treatments like cognitive behavioral treatments and those kinds of things. And we'll talk more about that later. Here are the five types of disorders I said I would list for you. I'm going to briefly define them now, and then later we'll talk about them in more detail. The first type is the anxiety disorders, and on this podcast we're going to talk about these in detail. There are about five of these, and after I name the other types of disorders, we'll come back and talk about them. They might be the most interesting ones because most of us know someone who's dealing with one or another of the anxiety disorders. The thing they all have in common, of course, is anxiety. That's why they're called that. So before this gets too confusing, why don't you picture it this way? Or if you have a place you can write, then write it this way. At the top of your picture or your page, if you're writing, is the heading, and this is types of psychological disorders. Then draw five lines coming down to these five types, and then list them horizontally on the same level because they have very different and very distinct symptoms or behaviors associated with them. So again, the first one is anxiety disorders. So you have four more that are the equivalent of the anxiety disorders. The second one on your horizontal list there is dissociative disorders. And once again, the name of the disorder tends to give it away. The person somehow dissociates either from their body or from their behavior, and it becomes a problem. It happens either often enough or in situations where it should not be happening and it's causing them a problem or someone else a problem. There aren't many of these around. They're pretty rare, so we don't run into this sort of thing too much. The third type is personality disorder, and there are a number of these, and you do see them fairly often. We've lumped things like antisocial disorder, borderline disorder, personality disorder into this group, and they are some sort of problem with personality. Your problem is your personality is enough of a problem that it gets you in trouble or disturbs those around you in some way. Okay. Then there are the mood disorders. The mood disorders you're probably a little more familiar with, and that's bipolar, which is happening a lot out there these days, and also just plain depressive disorder. Then there's schizophrenia, which is in a class by itself, and I'll tell you later why it's in a class by itself. All right, let's come back to the anxiety disorders and talk about those for a minute. The first one that we're going to talk about is called generalized anxiety disorder, and it is called that for a couple of reasons. One is that this person tends to carry around a lot of general anxiety over everything in life. The other reason it's called that is that they tend to take this anxiety and then generalize it to new things. They'll be anxious, for example, about talking to their girlfriend, and then they'll generalize that anxiety to something else that's associated with that. And eventually, it becomes generalized to almost everything, and they're just generally anxious. The next type, and often, this is two types, and often they're classified together, but I like to separate them. I think they really are two different things. They're different enough anyway to classify them differently. One is panic disorder, and then the other is PTSD, post-trauma stress disorder. Panic disorder first. Panic disorder, you know people who have panic attacks, or you've seen them on TV or heard about them at least. And these are the people who have to breathe into the paper sack because their carbon dioxide and oxygen balance gets off far enough that they're in danger of passing out from a panic attack. They have to pull over to the side of the road when they start to have these attacks because they may pass out while they're driving. The other type of panic disorder, or actually a little, as I said, it's a little bit different, is post-trauma stress disorder. This is people who have come back from war or have been in some other type of really traumatic situation that was extended long enough to really be disturbing to them. And so when they come back, from this situation. They act differently. They act not like them, their old selves. They may constantly think about the old times. They may worry a lot. When my uncle came back from the Korean War, for example, he would dive under the table whenever he heard a loud noise. And everybody thought this was pretty funny, but it was not funny at all to him, of course. And then he didn't get classified or any help for this, because at that time PTSD had not been identified. Nowadays it has, of course, been identified, and there's a good deal of help that you can get for PTSD. I have a video that I show my students, and this is kind of a good demonstration of the difference between the psychological and the medical model, because it is a physician, psychiatrist, who has put together this video. And what he is doing is taking a look at the brain and finds that this PTSD patient has a smaller hippocampus after 10 years of experiencing PTSD. Well, what is he going to do about that? It's a question. Is there some medication that makes his hippocampus larger and helps him with his memories? Not really. So it really doesn't help to look at this problem from a medical perspective. It may help to have some anxiety medication, but looking at the brain like this psychiatrist did just doesn't help. Of course, the brain changes after 10 years of going over and over these events in your mind. This person who has PTSD is actually wearing his old unit's insignia around in the streets all the time. He has no job. He actually has a vial of dirt that he took from the tunnels over in Vietnam, and he gets this dirt out and plays with it in his hands. So the treatment for someone like that would be very different if a psychologist were handling it, different from the medical model. For one thing, we would definitely put a stop to the replaying of the events over and over in his life by doing the things I just mentioned, and also looking at all the old pictures of his unit. I'd have him put all that in a box and put it away in the attic, and then go hunt for a job. And this would be his therapy. He'd have homework that would be along those lines, because he's just continuing to replay the same old pictures in his mind. Well, anyway, moving along, the next type is a phobia, and you already know a good deal about phobias. You know about claustrophobia, you know about arachnophobia, and maybe one or two others. And there are a number of them. We can develop phobias to almost anything through association of that object with some other object or some other event that we're afraid of. It's called classical conditioning. And you may have studied classical conditioning and Pavlov before. The treatment for phobias is called desensitization, and it's a treatment that sort of reverses that association. You associate that unreal fear, that thing you are afraid of, with a relaxed state rather than a tense state. And then the fear over a period of time and association with different levels of exposure to the thing you're afraid of will allow the phobia to dissipate. OCD is the next one. Everyone has heard of obsessive compulsive disorder, and you may have known someone who has the problem. It's, for example, the person who has to wash their hands 22 times in 30 minutes, or they are just compulsive about something else. The thing to keep in mind about all of these is that to some degree we've all experienced each one of them, and so for that reason we can understand them. We don't have this problem necessarily, but if you've even experienced it to a small degree, then you can get a feel for what each one of these people who have carried these to the extreme are experiencing. For example, you might be compulsive about checking the doors at night to make sure they're locked. You may have to go around 3 or 4 times before you feel comfortable, and that's a bit of a compulsion, and it doesn't get you in trouble, and in fact it probably is a good idea. So there's no one who's going to interfere with that, and it'll never cause you any problems, so you won't get classified as OCD. But the person who has to wash his or her hands 22 times in 30 minutes is going to have trouble, because they can't sit through a class, they can't sit through anything without getting up and going and washing their hands. So they are going to cause trouble for the people around them enough and bring enough attention to themselves that someone's going to suggest that they get help. And of course, if they are parents and have small children, then this sort of behavior can't be tolerated, because it affects the children. All right, that'll be enough for right now. We'll go on and talk about the personality disorders next time, especially the antisocial disorders, which are very interesting to talk about, psychopaths and sociopaths. Talk to you later. Thanks.